Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everyone. This is Jordan, your GM, your host, your wingman. I just have a brief message for you all before the episode begins. Three of Hearts is generally a very lighthearted podcast. I like it that way. I like the fluff. I like the slice of life stuff. I like the queer joy. That's never going anywhere. However, I'm incapable of writing things that don't occasionally get fucked up and sad. It's just who I am as a person. And this episode has some of that content, specifically featured around people hurting other people, with implied torture. If that kind of content makes you uncomfortable, it's at the end of the episode when you hear Vellum and Spar enter a silo. That could be your cue to stop listening to this episode. The beginning of episode 9 should make it very clear what they find in there, and without you having to listen to my description, which is a little grim. Whether you listen to it or not, enjoy the episode. It was a very fun one to record. The vast majority of it keeps with our general tone of silliness. And if you just listen to our podcast for some light, queer adventure, we've got you covered, seriously, for the first 75, 80, 95% of the episode. Last few minutes, though, you may want to tune out. Okay, enjoy the episode. Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Feldspar prevented a robbery at Trader Joe's, where three altered individuals were attempting to take Clovenheart's food stores for themselves. Afterward, Josepha, the storekeeper, asked if the agents would take care of a winged cat she found injured in the woods, and Vellum enthusiastically agreed. She also gave Vellum the means to fix his TM radio, which allowed him to cast a fine person spell on the missing Kurt Whittlesby. This led the duo to a nearby farm, where they stumbled across a bloody scene and buried evidence. As they dig for clues, the agents uncover a bomb, the timer ticking downward. But we are not going to start in the bomb barn. We are going to start approximately 20 years ago with Agent Vellum. Before he was Agent Vellum, this is just regular Vellum, Cowlin Vellum.
Hasn't he always been an agent, though, in his heart?
Yeah. Do you have an idea of where Vellum went to college, like a name or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
As you may remember, it was a little bit of a morning.
Yes. Okay, I was going to call it Silver Scale University.
Silver Scale?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're at Silver Scale University. Silver Scale is a tower in Vasana Terra. Every floor of the tower is, like, magically constructed to reflect a different, like, environment. So you have, like, the desert floor, the botanic floor.
The underwater world.
The oceanic one. Yeah, exactly.
Does each floor have a slightly different kind of tinny music backdrop?
Absolutely, yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's all the same song, but, like, the instrumentation changes based on which floor you're on.
Okay, good. Thank you.
This level has like a sort of bossa nova style. You know, this one has a Western sort of style.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The main floor is like a big band style.
Excellent.
Yeah. So anyway, I imagine Vellum was like a pretty dedicated student.
Yep. Yep.
Probably more into the academics and the socializing, I'd have to assume.
Incredibly so. Like, I think he's always kind of had trouble making friends, but part of that isn't like intentionally pushing people away so much as it is he's just so curious about the world and everything. He wants to learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, takes quite a bit of time.
Right. You're just too busy to have friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get it. So anyhow, we discussed privately that Vellum had taken maybe some kind of, like, intro to magic elective class. Probably more theory than actual spellcasting and the like. But then Vellum got very into magic.
Yes.
Because you wanted to pursue your magical studies, today basically, there's a dedicated magic school that is not based in Vasa Natura. It's based in another town called Withervane.
The town is called Withervane, or the other
The town school? Is called Withervane. Okay. What's a good school name for this, for the magic school? It is called...
Ninja Bears.
Whizbang University.
It's called Whizbang University.
Good.
Withervane's a very silly town. Yeah, so the students from Whizbang University have come to... Whenever anyone gets invited to Whizbang University, they think it's a joke.
They think it's a scam.
Yeah, it's Clyde Knight's night school.
Yes, it's exactly that. Anyhow, yeah, the students of Whizbang University are visiting Silver Scale and doing a bunch of, like, magical-based... There's competitions, there's seminars, stuff like that. Like, for example, there's a... On the roof of Silver Scale, there's, like, a levitation-based competition where people are trying to levitate the biggest rocks they can.
That's for the jock wizards.
For the jock wizards.
They pick up heavy things and put them down again.
Vellum is attending a seminar that's like kind of like speed learning, where you are going to be introduced to a spell at the beginning of the seminar and then be expected to cast it by the end of the seminar.
Okay.
So only like very academically like advanced students are recommended to take the seminar, and that describes Vellum.
So it's like it's a practicum.
It's a practicum. Vellum, you arrive in this sort of hall. It's on the... What floor is this on? This is in a tropical rainforest floor, but it's indoors, like an indoor part of this floor. So if you were to walk outside, you would be in tropical rainforest, but this is in like a kind of a standard-looking lecture hall, although with many of the desks pushed aside because spells are going to be cast.
You know, a standard lecture hall that has a rainforest inside it.
Yeah, no, outside it.
Okay.
Yeah, so students are kind of arriving currently.
Wait, Jordan, I have a question. Is it a standard lecture hall, or is it like a greenhouse inside the...
Oh, greenhouse is great. Greenhouse is great. Okay, it's a greenhouse. The interior is arranged like a lecture hall, but it is a greenhouse. Yeah, okay, lovely. While you're sort of like getting your bearings in here, waiting for the practicum to start, a pixie taps you on the shoulder.
Vellum will turn around. And I guess he'll just say something like, oh, hi.
Why, hello. I hear you're the smart one. I asked people who the smartest fella around here was, and people pointed to you. They said your name is Callan. Callan, is that correct?
Yes, my name is Callan Vellum. I'm not sure if I am the smartest person here, but I am fairly dedicated to my studies. That is true.
Yeah, that's what they said. Something about no life... nerd. But I like the way you said it more, because honestly, there's no shame in being dedicated to your studies. I mean, everyone at Whizbang is dedicated to their studies.
Right. Of course.
So, I wanted to pitch something to a smarty and see what they think about it.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know...
Sorry, did this person say their name?
No.
Okay.
So, you know who Arabella... Moonthistle is? Does that name mean anything to you?
Does that name mean anything to me?
Up to you.
Can I flip something for it?
Yeah, you can flip intelligence streetwise.
All right. Oh, goodness. Oh, I should have shuffled better, I guess. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's right. Burn all those bad cards early.
No, I'm burning all the good cards.
Oh, no.
Oops.
Because I did intelligence streetwise and one for healthy. That's 7 cards. 5 of the cards were not just regular cards.
Mm.
Faces and aces.
I got 1 ace, 3 kings, and a joker.
And a joker? Oh, delightful. Delightful.
So I know this person, and maybe they know something cringe about Vellum. I don't know.
Oh, this is fun.
What was their name? Arabella.
Arabella Moonthistle.
Okay.
Oh, how do you guys know each other? Arabella Moonthistle is an adventurer, a prolific one, considered by many to be the best, like the most powerful living spellcaster. So I guess, yeah, it makes sense that Vellum would know about
her. Yeah.
Maybe she was like invited one time to a dinner at
your uncle's place and Vellum embarrass himself in front of her. How did you do that?
Oh, that's a good question. I can't, like, my mind is just coming up with a blank. I will take suggestions from the audience.
Okay, what if someone told a joke at dinner and you laughed and, like, spat food in her face or something?
Oh, no.
Is that too extreme?
Okay. I don't have this yet, but I'm thinking, what if it's Gray who was the embarrassing one, who was, like, too enthusiastic about something or, like, pronounced her name wrong or something like that and just, like, stuck with it the whole night and Vellum was just, like, sinking down in his seat the entire time?
Or did Gray, like, go on and on about Vellum and, like, bring out the embarrassing baby pictures?
It is definitely that one.
Yep. Okay.
So Arabella has seen a photo of toddler Vellum naked.
Also, this means, and I think we'll probably keep finding connections like this, Vellum has probably met a bunch of people who knew Spar's parents.
Yeah, that's possible.
Cool.
So you express some familiarity with Arabella, and the pixie you're talking to goes, yeah, she's the best, totally my inspiration. You know, a lot of people said my mom was the best magic person in the world, and now everyone says that it's Arabella. And I just think it would be so cool to, you know, I want to follow in her footsteps. Pixies don't usually get a rap for being.
Essay is just sinking lower and lower in their seat.
Essay's figured out what's going on.
And pixies don't normally get, like, a good rap for being, like, important in any way. So it's just, like, she's such an inspiration to me. Her and Jasper are some of the best spellcasters ever. They have this organization called the Cerulean Sisterhood. I want to get in it. That's not why I'm talking to you. I mean, it would be cool if we both got in the Cerulean Sisterhood. You don't have to be a sister to get in the Sisterhood. But, okay, I want to know if this sounds plausible to you.
Okay.
I have a theory, because I don't know how anyone could be a better spellcaster than Mom. I was just thinking, okay, so I've heard credible stories about goddesses taking human forms, mortal forms, I should say, and walking this earth not knowing that they're a god. And I was wondering if it's possible that Arabella is maybe like a mortal manifestation of Thaumatera. And that's why she's so good at magic.
That would be a very interesting theory. I could see that being plausible. They are very adept. I kind of hope that's not true because she did see pictures of me when I was younger. But,
if she really is a god, she's probably going to know all of your embarrassing secrets anyway.
Oh, God, I hope not. Dude,
Jordan, I'm dying.
Are all goddesses omniscient?
I don't know, I've never met one. I assume, that's what they say.
I mean, I could certainly see that making sense, but if all goddesses know everything about everyone...
Then why do we need more than one? You're right.
Right. You know, like, are all goddesses actually part of one greater goddess?
Wow.
Are they all just little pieces of them separated?
Oh, I was thinking like a hydra.
That's good too. I'm sorry, what was your name?
And then someone at the front of the class clears their throat. It's an elderly halfling. They say, well, if everyone is done conversing, I think we should get started with the practicum. Would everyone like to sign up for their spell of choice? So some sheets are passed out with different spells on them. And we sort of discussed, Vellum signs up for one that's like charm of sorts, an enchantment. It allows someone to repress their instincts so that they can make more logical decisions. It could be used on an animal or a lycanthrope or even a person who is not being rational. Yeah, this was interesting to Vellum. And so you get paired up with a student teacher from Whizbang, and it is the pixie from before.
All right, then.
Who is introduced to you as Sorrel Felspar.
Excellent.
The naked baby pictures come full circle somehow.
Yes.
The way she goes about demonstrating the spell, you know, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but so she has these creatures with her that she's brought to school. They're called Torquettes. and they're basically like spined armadillos. They can like roll up into a ball and do like a Sonic the Hedgehog and like boom and like ram things.
Perfect.
And they get really upset when they see the color red, and they attack red things. So Sorrel is using the spell to curb that instinct to just charge at anything that's red. This is dangerous in a greenhouse, and she is reprimanded for doing this in a room with glass walls.
I love her.
Can you go ahead and flip Intelligence Arcana to see how adept Vellum is at learning the spell?
No, I'm not going to flip any successes. You know that, right?
Alternatively, you're going to flip the rest of your successes in the deck, and it's going to be a long, hard set.
Yeah. Okay. Intelligence Arcana. All right. Okay, okay. I got two jacks and two queens. One is a queen of hearts.
Ela, no.
Wow. So that's four successes plus what's your crit?
Two.
Okay, so that is six successes. Holy guacamole.
Uh-huh. All the face cards.
You prove extremely adept at casting this spell. Within half the allotted time of the practicum, you are able to sort of control these, not necessarily control these Torquettes, but you're able to curb their instincts to attack red things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so at the end of the practicum, the Silver Scale students then go to the professors from Whizbang and show off that their spell. The elderly halfling from before produces a like red cloth, and they ask Vellum to cast the spell. Vellum, when you do so, which, you know, we haven't talked a lot about it, but most spells are just like you have an implement of some kind. It could be a staff, a wand, an orb, whatever. And there's some kind of physical gesture and an incantation. You try to cast the spell, and it doesn't work. This thing begins to rear up and starts to attack this professor.
Oh, no.
And then they kind of shout, "Miss Felspar, can you stop this thing?" She goes to cast the spell, too, and it doesn't work. And the professor has to dive out of the way to not be mauled by this Torquette.
I thought you said, "And the professor dies."
No, dives out of the way.
R.I.P. Okay. Anybody who didn't get the memo to not wear a red shirt today.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, Sorrel didn't think that far ahead. Another one of the professors tries to cast a spell, a containment spell, to get this Torquette restrained. And once again, the spell just doesn't work. And then you hear screaming from above. A large boulder that was part of the levitation competition crashes through the ceiling.
Shit.
Flip brawn or agility and athletics to dive out of the way.
Great.
While Ela is flipping, I just like to note that I love that Sorrel was like, "Man, what if a Godex was like taking human form? It definitely wouldn't be my mom who shares a name with a Godex. It must be this other person." Love that for her.
Definitely not.
Oh, mom's dead.
True. Fair. I mean, yeah, well, maybe Thaumtera was taking a very short jaunt.
Okay, you said brawn and athletics?
Mm-hmm. Or agility, whatever's better.
You know that's only going to be three total cards, right?
Yeah, well, sorry.
Well, they're all numbers. They're all number cards.
Okay.
If I do drive, is that going to count against my...
Yeah, I was going to just be a nice surprise at the end, but I'm going to let you regain everything. This is all happening in the past, so...
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. You get to reshuffle and everything. I just wanted essay stress to hit peak before I revealed
that. You are formally allowed to stress me out if it's funny.
Yeah, thank you.
I will attempt to drive a couple times.
Well, and we know that the Vellum has a natural aptitude for vehicles, so.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicles, drive, sorry.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah,
no, I got it. I thought I got it.
Okay. I've now had a soda and an energy drink in the same hour, so. Mm.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, I got one success, finally.
Okay. That's enough to not get squished by a boulder.
Good. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. So you're able to move out of the way. Nobody is immediately killed by this boulder, but it does crash through the center of the room and keep going down through this building. And everyone in the room begins to fall. you know, it happens in stages, you know, you kind of hit the next floor and then fall and then fall and then fall. So it's not like your momentum is being stopped enough that it's not an instant death splat when you hit the ground. But it's pretty painful for everyone involved.
Is the whole tower collapsing?
Yes.
Great.
And you end up in the boiler room of the school at the very bottom. It is a massive furnace that is magically powered to warm the entire university.
So is everyone on the lower floors just squished?
No, because like a hole was made through the center of the tower first, and then it kind of collapsed, trapping you all underneath the tower in the boiler room. So some people probably died, yes, but a lot of you guys were actually kind of saved by the way it happened to collapse and are not all murdered. I'll just kind of pull out here, but Sorrel and some other pixies are able to get help because they don't fall because they can fly. And people come and sort of dig you all out of the rubble. Gray is actually there when you get out, and she gives you a big old hug. And the atmosphere is strange when you get out because, I mean, you find quickly that other incidents like this happened. A lot of spells in the middle of being cast went awry. But there's also, overall, the town is jubilant, big time. There are people, like, singing in the streets.
Why?
I have a question before you keep going with the scene. Is this how Vellum's leg gets injured, or does that happen earlier?
Earlier. Already injured.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one reason why I wanted to push the flip, because I didn't want it to be more injured.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to do that. Yeah, Gray tells you, as you're kind of like looking around trying to figure out what's going on, Gray says, news just got out. Morpholomew is dead. But so is Arabella Moonthistle. Sorrel was nearby and overheard Gray saying this. And you just see her face like sink like a stone. And that is where we will leave this flashback.
Great times.
Ela, go ahead and reset your drive. Go ahead and shuffle your deck.
Okay.
Okay, so Sorrel was in Vasa Natura during the untethering.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that contradict anything?
Nope. I'm just making note.
Just making note. Yep.
It's just one fewer person who could actually have eyes on Spar.
When it happened? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Spar on Nick to have eyes on Spar, but that would be insensitive. So anyways, back in the present, y'all just unearthed a bomb. I didn't describe the timer last time. It is like a analog clock. And it has 75 seconds on the timer.
Okay.
Would you allow a wit firearms roll to see how to disarm it?
That'd be more like wit explosives.
There is a skill that is explicitly explosives.
I would allow engineering, gadgets, explosives. I don't think firearms makes a ton of sense for it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I had to ask. Ela, do you have anything in any of those?
I have two engineering and two gadgets.
So intelligence and gadgets, or intelligence engineering?
Yeah, either of those would work.
To set the scene, is Spar like looking over Vellum's shoulder? Are we both looking at it?
Do you remember who dug it up?
I think Spar had to be the one digging.
I think Spar was the one who dug it up. Okay, so Vellum's probably looking over Spar's shoulder.
Exactly, yeah. Spar turns to look at Vel over his shoulder and is like, all right, Tech, you're up.
All right.
I just want to remind you guys, also, you guys did get magic items that could or could not be useful in the situation. I'm not pushing that solution. I'm just letting you know, reminding you that's a thing.
Okay. I will do intelligence and gadgetry. Let's try that.
All right. And then you get your eclectic, too, so you'll get an extra flip.
Okay. We got 3 successes.
Okay. So 3 successes. Yeah, that's pretty good. For 3, you don't recognize this specific build on this bomb. It's foreign to you, but you're able to pick apart how it might work, especially as you kind of dig in and get closer. There's a latch for you to open to, like, look into its innards, which takes some finagling to get open, but you're able to do it deftly. You see it has wire innards as well as a magical core must have been, so this bomb must be at least 20 years old because someone magicked it into power a long time ago.
Well, that's exciting.
It could be dispelled. You do have a magic radio. There is wiring as well. So a deft hand could cut the correct wires, which you know which ones to cut, but it would be scary because a lot of these wires are very thin and very close together. So if anything goes wrong, it would go wrong.
Okay.
Also, something that might be just, I know not an immediate concern, but I do want to point out something that could be of concern in Spar's mind. Not your immediate concern by any means, but there is a Multer tunnel, and, you know, the ecosystem is very sensitive here. Mm-hmm. It is possible if this thing goes off, a bunch of Multers could die. Mm-hmm. That's not the main reason you don't want it to go off, but it's just a reason. It would be bad. Mm-hmm.
Vellum will turn to Spar and say, we've got a couple options.
Pick one and tell me.
We can attempt to disconnect the wires, or
pick one and tell me, babe.
Babe.
He has, like, his pocket knife out and is, like, hovering. He probably used the tip of it to unscrew something or, like, mm-hmm. pry something open. He's willing to be Vellum's hands here.
Okay.
And is visibly sweating.
In that case, I think Vellum is going to tell him which wires to cut.
He'll cut them.
Okay. What makes sense? Agility and either melee or gadgetry or something.
I'll take agility melee. It's not okay. My best, but so that's going to be 2, 4, or 5 because I'm healthy.
Nice. I'm actually going to give you an extra flip for Vellum's
assist. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. 2 successes, 2 kings.
Okay. So here's what I'll give you. For 2 successes, you cut the most vital wire, mm-hmm. which stops the timer. Mm-hmm. However, you do accidentally, with your knife, swipe 2 wires at once when you're doing the second one, which doesn't cause it to go boom, but it makes it very difficult to disable it without dismantling the bomb. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily, it's not a timer anymore, but you still have a very explosive bomb sitting in this, exposed in this barn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can Vellum move so that he can kind of get to another side of it?
Yeah, you have a hole kind of exposing the bomb. It's a wide cylinder. There's space to navigate around it.
Can he pull out? I know we talked about it last time, but it's been a while and I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He used something for lockpicking before, right?
Yeah, a bobby pin, I believe, and a component in your cane.
Can he pull those out and try to dismantle the bomb?
Absolutely. That's going to be agility or wit, and I'm going to say, once again, gadget for your engineering.
Okay.
And Spar is sort of crouched to tackle Vellum and, like, cover him with his body if needed, or potentially pick up the bomb and, like, throw it outside.
Okay. And yeet it.
Yes.
Excellent.
His options are glomp or yeet.
The 2 genders. All right.
Okay, I just want to propose this. In Dungeon Daddies, the character Yeet Bigley, if they had been named Glomp Bigley, that would also be a great name. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. Glomp Yeetly, perhaps?
Yes, good. Wit and gadgetry and one for healthy.
You could probably do intelligence and gadgetry, right? Like, it's like your knowledge about bombs.
You're right. All right.
We're not on a extreme time.
Timer. Great. Yeah. So you can more think it through. You're right. Intelligence makes sense. Thank you, referee.
So that will be 3 more cards. Okay. I got 2 jacks and a 3 of hearts.
Hey!
3 successes total for the 3 of hearts because you're crit plus 2. So 5 total successes. Mm. Holy fuckamole. Yeah. So, 4 was the number in my head needed to disarm the bomb. So, excellent. Good job. Vellum, you are able to separate the arcane core from wiring that would allow it to power the bomb in any way. So you basically have a metal box that has a glass component, so you can see inside of it, that has this orange sphere of, like, raw arcane energy in it. So you just have that now. I don't know what you want to do with it, but you have it.
Yeah. It's going to be useful for something, I'm sure.
Yeah. yeah, the bomb is defused. And as that happens, Teratheu, who had been watching you guys enter the barn in the past, like, kind of sprints. You hear a thud, 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 as this giant sprints over to the barn. And Z says, "Wait, everyone! There's a bomb in there!"
Spar sort of lets himself sink to the ground, like, out of his, like, readiness crouch, and calls back, "Thanks, Teratheu! We got it!"
Z looks inside and sees what's happened, goes, "Oh." And then Z, like, sticks a hand and, like, a finger into the barn and, like, pats Spar and Vel on the head and says, "I'm glad you're safe." "I'm Teratheu, by the way," Z says to Vellum.
"Pleasure. I am Cowlin Vellum. How did you know there was a bomb here?"
Can you flip me presence persuasion?
Okay.
Can Vellum have an extra because Teratheu's known Spar, like, his whole life?
Nope.
Okay. It's okay. I get 3 for presence, 2 for persuasion, 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic.
Nice.
All right. We got a queen and a king.
Okay.
2 successes.
Yeah, given that you almost were blown up by this bomb, I think Teratheu would be willing to say, "I know because I put it there. Not to hurt anybody. I buried it to not hurt anybody, and then I heard you guys digging around in there, and it really freaked me out."
"You planted a bomb so that it wouldn't hurt people? I'm confused."
It's not my bomb."
"Okay."
"Okay." Teratheu is, like, having a crisis. The water that comprises your body is, like, flowing rapidly, which Spar would know is, like, a sign of nerves. It's almost like as their version of sweat.
Mm-hmm.
"Did you take it to hide it?"
"Yes."
"From someone else?"
"Well, from everybody. I didn't know a safer place to hide a bomb than here, than Clovenheart."
"Okay.
It's..."
Where did you find it?"
I know Spar knows. Josepha was an engineer for Morpholomew before Felix and Terra set her free. And this is what she built. Many, many of these. They're bombs that only kill unaltered people. This is, as far as I know, the last one in existence. I didn't know how to defuse it. I didn't want to bring up traumatic memories for Josepha by asking her to defuse it. So I just kind of buried it. And now you've defused it. So look, none of these bombs will ever hurt anybody ever again."
"Why didn't you just have an altered person set it off? Jordan?"
No, this isn't a Jordan thing. This isn't a Teratheu thing.
Okay.
They're like, "Oh, well, I don't know for sure that it wouldn't hurt them. I mean, that's how they're supposed to work, but what if they died? I don't want that to happen. That's not worth the risk. I didn't think anyone would dig under this barn."
"Yep. Okay.
I mean, that's fair
point. I could have put a sign. I could have put a sign, now that I think about it.
This is not a place of honor."
"Look, I buried that thing 20-ish years ago, a little more than that."
"I'm glad you remembered, honestly."
"Yeah, well, I think about it every day."
"Well, now it's one less thing for you to worry about."
"I know, that's the only thing I worry about, so that's pretty cool. But what I was going to say is, I'm kind of in the right here, because no one tried to dig it up for over 20 years, so really, you guys are at fault here."
Uh-huh.
Spar has mouthed, "What the fuck?" But it verbally is like, "Good point, Teratheu. I hadn't thought of it that way."
"Well, while you are here..."
I want to clarify, Teratheu meant that more tongue-in-cheek than, like, actually blaming you guys for this situation.
Okay. Also, another clarification while we're here. Wasn't this recently disturbed? That's why we were digging?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, Teratheu's actually going to ask, "So what brings you all out here?" "I like to hang out in this field. Normally, because it's pretty quiet. Usually, if I see anyone, it's Lunavella, Josepha. But that's pretty rare. Normally, I just kind of hang, and I don't usually see people. So I was wondering what you guys are doing here."
"Is it, like, part of the dirt floor is where the tunnel is?"
Yeah, there's a tunnel and there's a bedroll that's been used recently.
And the bedroll is full of blood, is that right?
Yep.
Was the bomb in the tunnel?
Yeah, it was basically at the mouth of the tunnel.
Okay. So we are investigating. We found this bedroll and saw that the earth over here looked a bit recently disturbed. So we thought we would look into it, and that's what we found.
Suddenly, Terathea looks horrified and is like, what if one of the Moltres has set off the bomb?
I think that would have been pretty bad, huh?
I gotta go think about this.
Before you go, Terathea.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Kurt pass through here anytime recently?
Actually, yeah.
How recently do you remember?
So, being made of water, so they're counting on their fingers, and Z manifests additional fingers instead of going to the next hand.
That's cute.
And beautiful.
Says, about 7 or 8 days ago.
And you've not seen him since?
Yeah, like I said, I don't really track time that intently. I don't worry about much.
Right, no, just the one worry, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen anybody else come through the barn since then?
Have you ever worried about something in the past? Because now I'm worried about something that happened in the past, and that doesn't make any sense.
What are you worried about that happened in the past?
The Moltres is possibly setting off the bomb.
Yeah, no, fair.
What were you asking? I'm sorry.
Agent Bella, was there something you wanted to add?
I was merely going to say that it's okay not to worry about the Moltres setting off the bomb, because we've taken care of it.
Spoken like a man who's familiar with worrying about things that are in the past.
Can you flip charm empathy to try to calm Terathea's nerve, Philem?
Me? Oh. Charm and empathy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Great.
Don't forget your mood ring.
Yes, it gives you a +1 to empathy.
Yep. Okay, so that's 2 for charm, 1 for empathy, 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. I think that's all I got.
Okay. It's not a high DC to calm down this giant, who is almost a stranger to the concept of worry.
Fuck! I got 2 successes and a joker.
Okay, I have a pretty funny solution here. So, the water that makes up your body starts to slow down considerably. They start to look more relaxed. Z says, oh, you're right. And just gets so chill that Z falls asleep right there in front of the barn.
Oh, well, any other questions, Felspar?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if Z'd seen anybody come through here. So Spar sort of cup a hand around his mouth and go, Terathea?
How difficult is it to wake Zem up?
Waking a sleeping giant, you ask.
Uh-huh.
It's not easy. Terathea has been known to nap
for 20 years at a time.
Well, I was going to say for like a week at a time.
Okay.
But you could try to shake Zem awake, but just noise alone probably ain't going to cut the mustard here.
Brawn persuasion?
Yes.
Okay, that's 3 for brawn, 2 for persuasion, 1 for healthy. So 6.
6. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can do a brawn persuasion roll is why I love Space Kings.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Oh no.
How do we feel about no successes, 2 jokers?
Shit. We're gonna ante one of those for sure.
Are we though? We've never pulled 2 jokers before and it doesn't feel dangerous.
Like it wasn't... That feels very dangerous to me.
Let's see. How much drive do I have? Oh, yeah. Blood's plenty of drive.
1 push drive. That. Roll.
2 drive. Okay. Out of 3 of my 5 drive, I've got no successes, 2 jokers still.
Oh, fuck.
I thought we leave it. I think that, like, this isn't combat. We're not defusing a bomb or anything. We're trying to wake Terathea up.
And just take both jokers?
Take both jokers. I want to see what happens. We've never double jokered. I don't think we've double jokered yet.
But we've still...
We have so much more to go, right? Like, we're still in our very first scene.
That's true. I'm now picturing Spar trying to wake Terathea and, like, trying to, like, grab Zare's arm or something and, like, just going through and just getting soaked. You said their body was made of water, right?
For two jokers, I don't think he's coming out the other side. But he does know how to swim, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, we're letting it ride?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guess so.
In the process of Spar trying to wake Teirathayu up, Z rolls over on top of Spar.
God damn it.
Doing no damage, but pinning Spar. And the noise of this roll as he breaks some of the wood, because he's like in the doorway of the barn. So he's like rolling inward and like damaging some of the barn as he does so. You both hear a stirring coming from within the mulcher nest, or tunnel, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably get out of here.
Yeah, that's the situation as it stands right now.
Spar.
Wait, so Spar is trapped under Teirathayu?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you okay?
I would say Vellum wouldn't know, but Spar would definitely know that the mulchers can be very hostile creatures.
Mm-hmm. Spar's like, yeah, I'm fine. You should get out of the barn. I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
But
don't worry. Go now.
But what about you?
I got this. This is not the first time this has happened.
Do you need me to go get someone else?
Now, when you say not the first time, does that mean the both being pinned and incoming mulcher attack have both happened at the same time before?
Separately. They've both happened separately. you just get out. I'll be fine. Go now. Just trust me. Vellum, if you've ever trusted me, trust me now.
Oh, okay. Vellum will go out of the barn. Did we fly here? I can't remember. Probably.
You took the hover car for sure.
Yeah. I think Vellum's gonna head to Spar's aunts and try to tell them what happened and see if there's something that he should do.
Okay, flip agility and driving to do this. And I think you have a permanent bonus to driving when you're piloting these things. Did I make that up?
That sounds right. Just a plus one?
A plus one whenever you're doing a hover car.
And does that go with my eclectic where I get that for the first time as well?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Agility, driving, healthy, eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
Four cards. This is why we should have anteed one of those so that you're not trapped.
Not worried. Worst case scenario, Spar dies here and I'll play a new handsome man for you.
Oh no. But all the fan art essay. that was nothing out of four. None.
Okay, so you make it to Casa de Felfbar in a totally normal amount of time. Everyone, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I'm sure you are. This episode is fucking crazy. And Spar should be, hold on, my watch, Spar should be getting killed by mulchers any minute now.
Although I do,
so anyway,
I do want to say that we remain, our counter of Spar has gone this many hours without getting his shirt ruined, remains at zero. Mm-hmm. We're not even up
it's
to
never
days.
Made,
no.
It's never
no,
made this it many to 2 hours.
Yep.
hey, I'm Jordan Quiverance, the Space King's host and Spar Vellum wingman, and my pronouns are they, them, and I'm the GM of this game. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole in Super Tri Studios. You can find it at spacekings.space to learn more about it, or buy it, or those are the two options, actually. Anyway, our show also has audio on it, just music.
I was like, oh, are you segueing to essay and we're going to do a different order this time? No. Okay, it's my turn. Hi, this is Ela Alexi. My pronouns are they, them, or he, him. And I play Agent Vellum, who also uses those pronouns. You can find all of the music online at louiszong.com. or you can find Louis online at Everyday Louis on Twitter. The songs that we use are Dogtective for the intro, At Last a Piano for the midtro, and Ghost Plus Guest for the outro.
Is there anywhere we can find you online, Hila?
I probably should have said that, huh?
You don't. You can be mysterious. I'm sure it's in the description down below.
It's definitely in the description.
For sure, every time.
But yeah, you can find me online at Hila Alexi on most social medias. And see all of my arts. And I have a website as well, which I will eventually add Three of Hearts stuff too, because we can have prints and stickers and stuff. So once I have that, I will link that on Twitter and we can pin the tweet and stuff.
Very exciting. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, whose first name may or may not be, sorry, I can't wear a shirt today, and his pronouns are he, him. You can find me online at Essay Hex. You can find the show online at Three Hearts Cast. That is T-H-R-E-E, all spelled out. We are primarily on Twitter and Instagram, but much more importantly, you can find us on Patreon, where if you are a very kind and a lovely person and a wonderful human, you can give us some money to do things like help pay for our hosting costs or our editing software or our storage costs. Or someday we hope to be able to pay somebody to transcribe so that we aren't just doing it at 2 minutes at a time. So all of these things would make our lives very much better. And we would love it if you would give us money. In return, you get cool things like our episode zero, where we build our characters. And then I proceed to throw that character sheet out and start over again twice. You get things like our game of A Quiet Year by Avery Alder, where we go into the backstory of Vasa Natura, the city that Suits is based in. And other cool stuff throughout time, like our gag reels and our outtakes.
And maybe one day, Hila will make like a wallpaper for your desktop or phone.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So my phone?
Yeah.
Your Whoa. Phone, Jordan. So we would love to have any amount of money you can give us. You get the same amount of stuff from us, no matter how much you give, because we're socialists like that. And if you don't have any money to give, we still love you very much. Thank you for listening. We hope we're making your day a little bit brighter. And we would love if you would tell a friend, but you don't have to do that either. We love you anyway.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so, Spar, what are you doing?
Well, I am trying to get out from under Teratheu. What's the breathing situation?
I'm imagining your legs are trapped, so the breathing situation is actually fine.
Okay.
But you are on your back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about... I don't know, what's the flip to get clear of this?
I would say brawn athletics is the one.
Okay, so that's 3 for brawn, 0 for athletics, 1 for healthy.
Okay.
2, 3, 4. 3 successes, a king and ace of jack.
Whoa! Okay, yeah, that's sufficient to free yourself from Teratheu. So you push them, like, back the other direction. So they're now outside the barn again.
Mm-hmm.
And as you kind of get to your feet, a long, large, bear-sized claw-having mole, and when I say claw, I mean like Edward Scissorhand-ass moles emerge from this tunnel. Just one, actually. One, a single mole, sure.
Are they more like talons than claws?
Yeah.
Well, like mole claws are like pretty...
Well, it was a mole vulture thing, right? So that's why I said talons.
Oh no, it's not a mole, it's not a pun on mole and vulture, it's just an original name that I made up.
Oh, I totally had in my notes that it was like part vulture, part mole.
Nah, it's just a big feral mole.
Oh, okay.
How good are they at climbing trees?
Not very.
Cool. Spar's climbing the nearest tree.
Amazing. Sure, there could be a nearby tree. We're going to do a contested agility athletics to book it to a tree.
Okay. That's not going to be great. That's going to be 3 for me. 2 for agility, 1 for healthy. 2, 3. 1 success, a jack.
They got 2 face cards, and 1's the Queen of Hearts, so that's going to make it 3 total successes.
Mm-hmm.
So Spar goes sprinting for the nearest tree, and this Moltres just tackles you to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And pins you there with one of its claws. Not through a body part, but through oversized Jasper Dad clothes.
Motherfucker. Just 1 day. I would take half a day. Half of a day.
Shouldn't have been the main character of a TTRPG. I don't know what to tell you.
Do we have any sort of communicators that work within Clovenheart?
Negative.
Didn't think so.
Yeah, so we're going to go, I think, a few rounds of Spar before Vellum's able to intervene. So what's Spar's reaction? I'm going to see. I'll give you. Or what's your initiative?
3.
Okay. Let me pull up some Moltres stats real quick. Right here in this Space King's book where it says Moltres. Just going to pull up those stats.
Yeah.
Okay. The Moltres actually goes first.
Sure. Hashtag this is fine.
So, I also got to tell you, another fun Moltres fact. They have tiny mouths, but they do have mouths with very sharp teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so small, they don't, like, bite and eat their prey like that. They use their claws to, like, dice them up and then eat them.
Like a roasted pork shoulder. And pull it apart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want you to know how Spar is going to get eaten, you know?
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay, that's going to be 2 successes, which is well within your dodge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not the smartest animal in the world. So this Moltres rears back with the same claw it used to pin you and tries to stab you in the chest, and you're able to move out of the way easily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your turn.
I want to deal it non-lethal sword damage.
Okay.
So, like, maybe hit it with the pommel. Brawn melee?
Go for it.
Okay. That's 3 brawn, 2 melee, healthy make 6. 2 3s, neither of which is hearts, and 2 successes, jack and queen.
Nice. Okay. You smack the Moltres on the head with your pommel.
Give it a good bonk.
Mm-hmm. And it does not like the bonk, and it starts scurrying back in the direction of the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it all falls quiet. It did not have a ton of health, and it wasn't going to lose its last health, so it ran away.
Cool. Spar's just going to chill for a second.
Okay.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, look at the new holes in his clothing. Mm-hmm. Well, in Jasper's dad's clothing.
Uh-huh.
Vellum, you get back to Casa de Felspar to see that it is empty.
Welp. Okay.
I mean, you already knew from earlier that Brunhilde and Joaquin were going into Cindershore, so really your only bet was Lunavella, and she's not around.
Good. Great. Wonderful. I think Vellum is going to head back to the barn. I don't know how much this is the struggle of I, Ela, want to reunite the party.
Uh-huh.
Vellum, his instinct was to try to go and get help, and the ants seemed like a good place to do that, but they're not there.
I got something.
Okay.
As you're leaving and you're getting back in your hover car, you hear someone approaching Casa de Felspar, but it's not a Felspar.
Okay.
Envelope in hand, Anya is approaching the Felspar residence.
Anya?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who, to be fair, you met 3 hours ago?
Uh-huh. Okay.
She kind of gives you a cordial wave. I mean, she can't see you. She's not looking at you, but she knows you're there and gives you a wave as she continues on to the Felspar residence. And she tapes the envelope to the door.
Does it say anything on it?
Are you that close to the door?
I think Vellum's gonna, like, kind of watch her and say something about, they seem to be out at the moment. Is there anything I can help with?
Oh, no thank you, Agent Vellum. See, I commandeer the Felspar family boat often, and they have insisted it is no trouble, but I have insisted that I pay them for the service, so I am just dropping off the monthly boat fee.
Oh, okay.
In Clovenheart, which has no money?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I think Vellum's gonna just kind of awkwardly stand there for a second and then be like, do you know how to wake a sleeping giant?
Anya is just like, brow furrows. Is this a puzzle?
It is a bit, yes, but also a literal problem in that...
Oh, did Terathayu fall on Spar again?
Yes. Again? Yes. Indeed.
I like to imagine that it's like a rite of passage for children to get like flopped on by Terathayu. Just like kids running around in the field and they're like hanging out with their new like wibbly friend who likes naps because apparently he's high. Z's high, sorry.
Yeah, Anya will, with your help. Oh wait, no, this is the perfect time to introduce my new favorite character.
Oh.
Sorry, Anya definitely would have been not alone, but guided through town by her potalope, which is a antlered pig.
TM, TM, TM essay for looking up the etymology of jackalope and then portmanteauing anew.
Yes, and his name is Carnation, but I mean, Velen wouldn't know that, but his name is Carnation. Adorable. And he is Anya's seeing eye pig.
How big is he?
He is...
hug-sized.
He's hug-sized for sure. Yeah, I mean, he's a pig. He's pretty big. I mean, he's not like... He's a earth-sized pot-bellied pig. He's pretty large. Mm.
So are we talking like 6 foot long, large? Like
maybe like 5 foot.
Okay, because earth pigs ain't small.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he is taller than Anya.
Cool.
Excellent.
Carnation guides her to the hover car, and she says, well, are we going to save Agent Felspar then?
If it's not a trouble, I didn't know what to do, and he told me it was fine, but I can't help but worry.
It probably is fine, but just in case it isn't.
All right. So does Anya get in the...
Yeah, gets in the hover car.
Gets in the hover car. Okay, let's go there.
Does Carnation get in the hover car, or does he trot along beside the hover car?
The latter.
Okay. Yeah.
In the hover car, Anya's going to say, by the way, I pay Brunhilde in tickets to sporting events in Cindershore. Is that something you or Spar would be interested in? Is competition for looking for Kurt?
Noted.
Yeah, let me know. Go ahead and flip agility and driving again.
Okay. Agility and driving and healthy. That's one success.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to go a little bit faster over. You're a little bit more confident in navigating Clovenheart now. Anya's talking on the way over and says, sorry if, kind of raising her voice to go over the sound of the hover car and says, sorry if this comes off impolite.
Hmm.
Some people say it comes off as intense or unempathetic. I do not mean to. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We have a strange connection, Agent Villain.
You and I, or?
Yes. I am an attorney. I defend altered clients. That's my specialty. And I wrote my thesis in law school on the tragedy that affected your family.
I see.
It's a complicated legal matter, of course. What happened to the attacker is complicated, but I don't want to bore you with my opinions. I just wanted to express my condolences. Never thought I would be in the same hover car as you, that's for sure.
No apology is needed.
Noted. I imagine the rest of the drive is quiet unless Velen says anything.
Probably pretty quiet. He's probably just like mind reeling over. I mean, he was probably too young enough at the time when it happened to really know a whole lot about the proceedings going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And maybe he might have looked into it later when he was older, but he probably didn't think he would meet her either.
Right. Definitely not. Yeah. Spar.
Yeah.
As you're sort of checking out your ruined clothes, you hear noise coming from the barn. Three mulchers emerge from the barn. One is definitely the one you bonked before.
Uh-huh.
And two others. And they are snarling at you and sort of waiting to see if you're going to run or what's going to happen here.
Climb that tree, baby. I've got to be closer to it than last time.
Definitely. So it's going to be a very low DC, but you are going to have to give me a brawn athletics. Or sorry, agility athletics.
Oh, fuck. I was hoping you wouldn't notice that. Okay.
Actually, I'll give you brawn because you are climbing a tree at the end of this.
Okay. All right. All right. Brawn is 3, athletics remain 0, which doesn't seem true to character, but only had so many dots to distribute.
We'll upgrade your athletics at some point.
Yeah, so that's 4 total.
Okay.
2, 3, 4. None successes.
Great.
Do you want to push it any? There's 3 of them now.
I know, and I already used 3 of my 5 drive. We'll give it 1.
Okay.
Nope.
Great.
0 successes.
Well, maybe they'll also get 0 successes. I'm flipping for them as a group. I'm not going to do 3 individual. That seems cruel. So I just flipped 1, mm-hmm. and here's what I'll give you, because they, as a collective, got 1 success,
mm-hmm.
which is more than 0. But you also are much closer to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it up the tree,
mm-hmm.
and they are bad climbers. Their claws don't give them the best grip capabilities,
mm-hmm.
because they're very long.
Mm-hmm.
So they stand on each other's backs in an effort to reach up the tree, which is a difficult maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
And Vellum, this is the scene you come across as you and Anya approach the barn.
Ancient Felspar! Vellum is yelling. You said it was fine.
Anya says, what's happening? Is he in danger?
This is fine! I'll need a new shirt again, but otherwise everything is fine. Anya!
There's 3 large creatures.
Anya, tell them it's fine.
I don't know that I've seen anything like them before. They're very mole-like.
Yeah, they're part of home. And Spar's right. The worst case scenario, he will die.
I'm sorry, and that's a okay scenario? It's not okay.
She shrugs.
Spar, you aren't allowed to die.
Neither are you, which is why I told you to get out. This way is much better.
What can I do to help?
Let's go into initiative, is I think the answer. So Vellum, yours is 4, Spar's yours is 3.
Yes.
These fellas have 6.
Jesus.
I'll put Anya in there. She doesn't fight, but she's here. Maybe she can do something helpful.
Yeah, she can throw rocks at him or something.
Yeah, so I'm going to use a mechanic from the Space Kings book. It's like a initiative grouping. So because you guys are in the same block, like you're not separated by any enemies,
mm-hmm.
you two can move, and Anya, can move in any order you choose,
mm-hmm.
as long as you all go before the enemies go. So,
yep.
Yeah. Okay. A Moltar, the one I'm seeing on top of this Moltar totem, is going to attack Spar. And I will say this was the one you attacked before.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's got a grudge.
Yeah, it's personal now.
Moltars gain lethal melee 1 when damaged, so it's gonna get a +1 to this attack.
Again with this, again, Jordan.
Almost every animal creature in the game has this, so I'm sorry. I'm using raptor stats for this Moltar.
Damn.
Raptor like the bird or raptor like clever girl?
Clever girl. Okay. 1 success plus the lethal, so 2 successes total. Do you still have dodge?
Yes, I still have 2 dodge left.
So after... Oh, because you have 5 total, huh?
Yes.
Okay, nice. So yeah, it tries to swipe at you. How do you dodge away in this tree?
I'm still climbing. I'm just getting higher. Yeah.
Great. Okay.
And also, as much as I can, trying to put the tree between myself and the Moltar totem. So I'm trying to get on the other side.
All right. Well, we now reach the bachelor block of initiative. oh my gosh, I can call it the baddie block and the bachelor block.
Good.
You sure can.
Anya's also a bachelor of sorts.
Fair. Yeah, bachelor is gender neutral. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So Spar is going to try to stab the top Moltar. Like, he didn't want it to go this way.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
And
yeah.
He's also hoping the stab will, like, topple it while he's at it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Brawn melee?
Yep.
Okay, that's 6. 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. 2 straight successes and a 3 of hearts. So 3, 5 successes total.
Wow. Okay. 5 successes is enough to, you do kill the top Moltar. And Anya swears under her breath when this happens. It does fall limp, obviously, and brings the other two Moltars down with it. as Spar wanted. Mm-hmm. So Velum and Anya slow return. Anya's going to grab Velum's arm and say, I don't see it clearly, but if you don't want Spar to die, you should act quickly.
Okay. Velum is going to get the hovercraft as close to Spar as he can and try to get Spar to jump in.
Okay. That's a fun move.
Yeah. Why not? What could go wrong, right?
So I'm going to say wit driving to position the hover car.
Okay.
Hey, Ila, how'd that flip go for you?
Oh, not too bad. I had 3 cards, and I got 2 face cards.
Nice! Okay. The hover car is now positioned for Spar to jump on in. However, the Moltres are going to get a turn before Spar does.
Anya says to hurry.
So Spar would know this, even though Essay doesn't. What happens when you kill a Moltre?
Like, in this instance, it's fine. Like, people aren't going to get too mad at you because it was trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. But just generally speaking, there are very poisonous creatures in the woods that they never forget at the moment who are the prey of the Moltres. So they kind of depend on the Moltres to keep those poisonous creatures limited. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why they prevent it. But for killing one Moltre in self-defense, like, might get like a thumbs down, but not going to like end up spending a night in jail.
Sure.
And now the 2 Moltres are going to try to cut the tree down.
Great. Tell me they jokered.
They flipped 6 cards. And they got 4 successes and 2 jokers.
Jesus Christ.
Love that for them. All right.
I love that for everybody involved, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That means the tree has to squish at least one of them, right?
Yes. So the tree is going to fall backwards on the Moltres as they stop this with their claws. Mm-hmm. And it is going to give Spar a chance to jump. But because it is mid-fall, this is going to be awkward, and I'm just going to make the DC higher.
Mm-hmm. If I take this jump, does that take up my turn?
No.
Okay.
This is kind of a reaction kind of thing. So, okay. Brawn or agility and athletics.
Come on, Spar.
I'll take brawn off athletics, which is 4.
Okay.
+1 for healthy.
Yes, thank you. That is 2 successes, pair of aces.
Okay, that is sufficient. It's going to be, you're going to take 1 undodgeable damage from landing in this car kind of awkwardly. Mm-hmm. And the car's going to rattle a bit, as you do, but it stays firm. And let's see. I'm going to flip 1 card. If it's a face card, both Moltres are going to be pinned. And if it's not, only one of them is going to be.
Okay.
Only 1.
All right.
So 1 Moltre is pinned beneath a tree, probably not going to get up any time for it to matter. The last Moltre is probably sweating a little bit, but they don't sweat. They pant. And it's now Bachelor Block.
All right, we good to go?
Yep.
All right, hold on.
All right, once again, give me agility driving.
Okay. If that didn't work, I was going to attempt to use the radio, but that is only 1 success out of the 3 cards.
Okay.
I do have drive, so I could push it.
You can. I'm going to let you know this is going to be contested against the Moltres to catch up to you. So, up to you.
Well, so the hover trolley should be pretty high in the air, right?
It is. So they're going to try to jump. It's going to be hard. It's not going
to
be even
athletic. It's also going to try to jump in.
It's going to try to jump and pull it down.
Right. I have not used any of my drive yet.
How much drive do you have?
4.
I'd be fine either way.
Okay. Let me. That's not anything. That's not anything. Okay, I used 2 drive and I didn't get anything. I think I'll sit here with that and we'll see what happens.
Okay. This Moltre got 3 successes.
Shit.
Which is enough for it to hang on to the bottom of the car as you continue to drive.
All right, it's going for a ride too.
Mm-hmm.
Spar, you wanna take care of that?
I'm gonna flip something for Anya real quick. Okay, carry on.
Spar's gonna hack at it. Try to dislodge it.
Brawn melee.
Okay. Which remains 3 for brawn, 2 for melee, 1 for health. 2 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, we've got 2 plain successes and a crit, so 5 successes again.
Wow. Now, nice. is this lethal or non-lethal?
Non-lethal.
Okay. Yeah, so 5 successes, you're easily able to knock this thing down and wound its pride, and it starts to kind of run away.
Mm-hmm.
After hacking it, it's going to start hacking at the tree to let its fellow mulcher free.
Yep, that's fine. They can't hurt Teratheu, right?
Nah, it seems unlikely.
Yeah.
That would be a losing battle for sure. I think they're smart enough to know not to do that. As they're running away, Spar, Anya has like a knuckle tight grip on your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, that mulcher, I saw a picture of its censoring memory. It seemed curt.
Spar will put his hand over Anya's, like, not to take it off, but like to grip her hand back, sort of. Could you tell anything about the background? Where they were?
No, he was strapped to something.
That doesn't sound good.
What if... Yeah, she only got 1 success on her clairvoyance flip that I did. Mm-hmm. She says, what if we follow the mulchers? What if the tunnel... I don't know.
Not we.
If he's there, I have to go.
I can't let you.
Flip, charm, or presence and persuasion.
I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here because I don't think this is charm. I think this is presence.
Yeah, okay.
So that is going to be 1 for presence, 2 for persuasion, 1 for healthy. So
I'm going to give you 1 for Anya.
Okay, 5. 2, 3, 4. Okay, so I have 1 success so far, and I need to shuffle.
Is sleuth only for attack rolls, or is it for any role involving that person, anyway?
It is for investigating or attacking.
Okay.
Which I think I fucked up earlier in the in an earlier episode, but I, as Essay, want Anya to come with us.
Mm-hmm.
But Spark is not going to let a civilian like go into a totally unknown into a situation which at best is full of mulchers.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, I don't know, if she sneaks in behind us, there's nothing Spar would be able to do about that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not now that she knows where the tunnel is.
Right. Well, did she see the tunnel? She can assume that there's a tunnel nearby, but...
Yeah.
We specifically didn't tell her about the bedroll and the blood and...
Yeah, I mean, I bet Carnation could help her find the tunnel. Okay, shuffled. Ooh, 2 successes.
2 more or 2 total?
2 total.
Okay. You can see in the way that her mouth kind of thins is she's angry, but she takes a breath. Fine.
He squeezes her hand. And
Vellum is going to interrupt and say, I know it's not really my place to say, but you should know from my own personal experience that trying to prevent innocence from being harmed in a dangerous situation is very important to me.
Anya kind of sighs and nods and then says, Spar, you know, Mom passed a long time ago, and in the last couple years I pushed Dad away. Please bring him back to me.
The second I know anything concrete, I'll come to you.
She nods and she will walk back into town, led by Carnation.
She doesn't want a hover ride?
Figures you guys might want it, so. I also don't think she'd be fit to drive.
We could drop her off.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, she'd rather you guys get on it right now, okay, frankly. Yeah.
Spar watches her go.
All right, what are we doing?
Well, I guess we can try to go and investigate that tunnel, although I'm not thrilled at the idea of encountering those creatures again.
How many mulchers tend to live in a mulcher den at once?
Give me intelligence and either survival or streetwise, and I'm going to give you a +1 for Clovenheart knowledge.
Okay.
I'm going to give you actually a 1 success for Clovenheart knowledge.
Okay. So intelligence and streetwise or survival? Both the same. Okay. So I have 1 in intelligence, 1 for healthy. So that's my 1 Clovenheart success.
Okay. It's not an easy answer because tunnels vary in size. It could be a part of a larger tunnel network. However, It's rare for more than six of them to be together at once.
Okay. So Sparrow will look at Vellum and say, hey, you think your radio could help us here?
I have an idea of what might work if we'd like to try it.
Hey, you're the ideas man. I just swing the sword.
Back before the untethering, actually the day of the untethering, I was at a...
Spar does not look alarmed. Just aside to the camera, he does not look alarmed.
Of sorts. And I learned a spell that could prove helpful if we can get it to work. The idea behind it is to not to use charming magic to calm emotions, but instead to sort of allow the creature or person affected more control over their emotional or instinctual actions.
Mm. I was thinking about something that would maybe let us see down the tunnel. I'm not entirely sure what a mulcher wants to do as separate from its instincts. It's entirely possible that...
Yeah. Yeah, that's also a good point that...
Want is to shred me, yeah.
Even if the magic did work, it might just still want to eat you, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if a mulcher would choose violence. Anya probably would. Choose violence. Or no, honestly.
Something to see into the tunnel.
I'll also say this. I'm going to give you this for free, Ela. That arcane core you have would allow you to use the radio one extra time in a day.
Cool. Maybe if I tinker with this and he pulls out the arcane core and use it with the radio, maybe we can get it to do a little bit more magic for us.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Jordan, how noisy is the core?
It's like a very quiet hum when you're close to it. It's not bad.
Okay.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if it was a situation where it's like, because it's pure energy, it's a capital P problem.
Well, if it was not in its container, it probably would be, but okay. you get the sense that this dampens the sound. Yeah.
All right.
You don't want to have a noisy bomb, you know?
Well, you want it to be noisy maybe at just the one point.
Right, exactly.
So I guess we head back towards the barn to try to look into this tunnel.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. When we get there, are the mulchers still out and about?
No. Okay. It looks like they've retreated into the tunnel. Yeah.
Then I think Vellum will set the hovercraft down, but like maybe stay in it so we can try to get away quickly if needed. And he's going to fiddle around with the radio. And see if we can do we want to try to do like another find person spell? Do we want to try to see if it can show us anything about the tunnel? What are you thinking, Essay?
I was thinking, I know there's an either spell or ability in D&D where you can like cast your sight to the other side of an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking something like that would like let you see down the tunnel, like let you throw your vision.
Oh, my eyes down the tunnel.
Yeah.
There is also a ranger ability, which is what I was thinking of, which allows you to tell how many of a certain type of creature are in a certain area. But either, Etes might give you more information, so that might be a better way to do it.
Yeah, I like what I was thinking, and maybe Jordan is steering me away from that a little bit, is like to see if there's any information down the tunnel that would be like a person was here or something non-mulcher has been using this tunnel.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm not trying to scare you away from anything. I'm just talking. All right. So flip intelligence and investigation, actually, to make this roll happen.
And so, wait, before we do that, though, do we want to cast our one spell, or do we want to put the new core into the radio first?
I think we'd already used its use for the day to get to the barn in the first place.
No. It's two uses a day.
Yeah.
Two uses a day. Okay.
So you can up it to three.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if there was a flip involved with attaching the core to it.
Nah. I think Vellum's smart enough to just do that.
Cool. And is that like a permanent thing that it'll be three uses?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a good find.
Yay. Okay. So we don't have to flip to attach it. And we're doing a intelligence investigation. So that's 4 and 2. 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic. You want to give an inspiring speech or anything?
Not right now. I think I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we got. Got an
Vellum ends up with 15 successes to look down a tunnel.
Oh, well. I got 2 aces, a queen of hearts, and a joker.
Do you want to ante this joker or let it ride?
I think it might be nice to ante this one so that the mulchers don't come back.
Yeah, I was thinking so that we get, like, clearer information.
Yeah, that too.
All right.
Anti this joker.
So that's, okay. The Queen of Hearts is 3 successes on its own. So what else did you get?
2 aces.
Dang, so 5 successes. That's really good. So you are able to, yeah, basically create a magic... I'm going to say you actually, this is what happens. You create a magical version of one of your eyeballs, and it floats around and does whatever you want it to.
All right. That's not weird at all.
It looks exactly like one of your eyeballs, except that it's, like, translucent and yellow. The ocular nerve is attached.
Sparkle,
this
look.
Is not great for Ela's body horror, not...
Sorry, good, sorry.
But all right. Visuals are strong.
And yeah, it goes down the tunnel. And it's just dark for a while, but it has, like, dark vision, so you're fine there. And eventually it does open up into a kind of a mulcher nest. You do see 5 mulchers hanging out in this tunnel, licking their wounds. Or 2 of them are, anyway. 3 of them are. No, wait, 1 of them's dead. 2 of them are.
I was going to ask, did the mulchers bring the dead body?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Oh, one of the mulchers is digging a grave for their fallen friend.
Oh.
Is the grave in their little mulcher living room?
No, I guess it'd be elsewhere. Okay. You actually do see, as you get deeper into the tunnel, signs that people other than mulchers have been using this.
What sort of signs?
Footprints look like it could make it belong to a human or an elf. Or a halfling. I mean, they all probably have similar sized feet, because halflings typically have larger than normal, like larger than proportionate feet, so like it probably all kind of averages out. So, at the end of the tunnel, there is a ladder that goes up, but unfortunately, there's a trap door that stops you from looking through. However, with your 5 successes, based on the direction that the tunnel goes, you're able to just see a silo out among the wheat fields that matches the location of that ladder.
Okay. So Vellum saw evidence that there were footprints there, and we got to a trapdoor that leads to a silo.
Mm-hmm. And you can just, yeah. I mean, regular non-magic eye Vellum can just see the silo.
Okay. He will relay that information to Spar and suggest that they head towards the silo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you take the hover car out across the wheat fields. There are a couple silos out here. One closer to town, one further out. There's actually like a road that connects the two of them for non-hover car transport. When you reach the further out silo, it looks like kind of unkempt, like there's grass that's not tended to out near it. So there's a sign outside of the silo that says, keep away needle skin infestation, which Spar would know to be the poisonous insects that plague the woods.
Mm-hmm.
The door is padlocked.
Spar, is there any sign of this infestation actually being here?
Hey, Jordan, is there any sign of this infestation actually being here?
That would be really hard to say without looking inside.
There's not, like, any sign of the bugs, like, in the surrounding area, though?
You could flip something. You could flip intelligence or wit investigation.
I figured Spar might be good at that since he's from here and knows what these animals actually do.
Spar gets the +1 for a cloven heart.
+1, that's +1 success, like yep. Last time? Mm-hmm. Okay. Wit is 4, investigation is 4, so that's 8. Healthy is 9. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4 successes counting the cloven heart success.
Whoa.
A queen, a king, and an ace, and 1 joker.
Okay, which cannot be anteed.
Correct.
How many successes was it?
4.
Okay.
Okay, so you can determine pretty certainly that there's not a needle scan infestation. Like, there's no signs of outside anyway, and they would probably leave, like, nests. They shed their skin, so there'd probably be some kind of evidence of needle skins in this area, and there's just none that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
However, next to the silo, there's a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And as you kind of look, you see that there's a branch that reaches out towards the silo, and a little rope hanging from the branch above. And there is a part of the silo that you make out like an outline, like it can maybe be pushed in or moved aside. So there's an elaborate secret entrance to the silo. You don't know what the Joker is yet.
Okay.
And the main door is padlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Vellum, do you think you could pop that padlock?
I can give it a shot.
Out of character, I want to try going in the normal way first.
This is a good idea.
And then try the freaky fucking revolving bookcase entrance.
Okay. All right. What did I do last time to pick the lock? Was it...
That's a good question.
Was it intelligence engineering or something?
I think it might have intelligence gadgets. They're the same for you anyway.
Yeah, if I use engineering, then I would get a plus one for eclectic.
I think gadgets makes more sense.
Ooh, I should have used engineering earlier then.
Sorry.
All right, I'm going to have to shuffle. We're doing intelligence and engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And then one for healthy. So that should be 7 cards total. I have 4. None of them are success. So I need to shuffle and then do 3 more cards. 2 successes. King and an ace.
Yeah, that's sufficient to break this lock open. Not to break it open, but to pick it.
Cool, cool, cool.
Spar's going to pat Vellum on the back and say, "You sure you're not a field agent?"
Aww.
He's going to chuckle at that and say, "You know, it's not what I expected it to be, but I'm learning a lot, I think."
You're going to put me out of a job, Agent Vellum?
I don't think we could ever do that. Pretty sure I would have died if not for you at least 3 times now.
Goes both ways. Spar's gonna poke his head in the door.
All right. So when you do that, your ears start ringing something fierce.
Oh no. Mm-hmm.
This was kind of the Joker, was you kind of pushing this to the back of your mind as you're focused on investigating. And then like when you're here, you realize, oh, this is not just background cloven heart noise. Like there is a lot of magic in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to need you to flip Ron Biology for migraines.
Okay.
That's what we've been doing, right? Ron Biology?
I don't remember. I was just going to search for it in the Telegram chat, but I'll take Ron Biology. That makes sense to me.
Okay.
So that is 3 for Ron, 1 for healthy. None successes, left migraine.
No, not left migraine.
This is a severe migraine, which I believe means -1 success to everything you do.
Correct.
Yike. Okay.
Great, great, great.
So, yeah, your head is splitting as you enter here. But that's honestly probably your secondary concern, because the first thing you guys see upon entering here, the silo has been emptied out and has been made into what looks to be some kind of laboratory. In the center of the laboratory, strapped to a chair, is a dark-skinned halfling man who Spar would recognize as Kurt Whittlesby.
How is he?
However, he does not look good. He's not dead. You actually can see him breathing, but he looks horrible, actually. Gaunt. His head is cut open, and you can see his brain.
That's...
Not his whole brain, but some of it.
Great, Jordan.
I know. I'm so sorry, Ela. I'm so sorry.
Love it.
Sometimes I just gotta tell the story, and sometimes it gets gross. So, you see that. Does anyone do anything?
Yeah, Spar's sprinting toward him.
Okay.
Vellum is following quickly behind.
Yeah. As you approach, do you, like, put your arms on him? Like, what do you do?
I call his name. Okay. And, like, I'm not going to touch him because I don't want to disturb anything.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, there also, I should say, there's, like, an IV into him, and there's, like, various, like, he's clearly being experimented on in some way.
Yeah.
His eyes were closed, and they flitter open for a second, and he says, Miriam?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's me. I'm here. And he goes to touch, to, like, hold Kurt's hand.
Okay, he takes it, and he's like, and you can see him, like, struggling to stay conscious right now.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm sleepy. What are you, why are you here? Are you, Is this suits?
We're here for you. Yes. Who's been doing this to you?
Softly, before he loses consciousness, the words that leaves his lips are Arabella Moonthistle.
Oh, shit.
And that is where we'll end this session of Three of Hearts.
I'm not making any noise because I'm making a face. That's the
Hey everyone, I'm sitting here in front of my mic recording some Patreon content, and I thought, what the fuck, SA made a sub-serious comment about me including a reading from my novel in this episode, and I'm bored and in front of my microphone, and the episode's over, and there are no rules anymore, so I'm gonna do that. I'm writing a novel. It's a low fantasy novel set in Northern California about lesbians destroying capitalism. Hopefully it'll be released one day. If you are a literary agent who wants to buy a book of that description, hit me up. I'm going to read the first paragraph, that's it. Okay, here we go. Cierto, California was suffocatingly stodgy in every way, except that it was home to a secret society of psychic parasites and at least one wizard wearily fighting to liberate us from their thrall. The day that I learned this wasn't quite the worst day of my life, but it was unpleasant enough that a majority of my time was spent trying to forget that it ever happened, meaning a sudden interest in crosswords puzzles and more alcohol than I can reasonably afford. But that door was never going to stay closed. My menagerie of skeletons were quickly outgrowing the closet, and one day, everything had to come tumbling out. That's it. And hey, while I'm here talking about my writing, I am a writer. I love queer fantasy fiction. That is my life. If that sounds good to you, and if you're listening to this podcast, I know it does. You can go to oddandends.com, oddendes.com, where I have a shit ton of free fantasy fiction, over 100 chapters in a series of tales set in a floating city, and it's gay, and it's funny, and it's sad, and it's just like this podcast, except it's all written by me, and there's no voices, it's just words. You know what a book is.